Oh, I have been looking forward to today. My understanding is right, is today is Grandparents' Day? I mean, is it, or just because I'm preaching on grandparents, or is it Grandparents' Day? Well, anyway, it is now, okay? I would like all of the grandparents here to stand up. All the grandparents. The rest of you, I want you to look at them. Check them out. All shapes and sizes. Hair, no hair, gray. All kinds of things, okay? The message this morning is for you as grandparents and the rest of you who possibly one day will be a grandparent. And so I want you to hear and listen. If you're a grandparent, I want you to hear and listen because I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to maybe a little scourging will take place. I don't know, but you know me well enough to know those who know me. I get real. And but I'm going to make sure that you are really not the ones that are really going to get it. It's the rest of you that are going to get it. Just warning you, if you want to leave now, it'd probably be a good idea. You may be seated. When Pastor Jason asked me to speak this, you know, this morning, and one of the reasons I'm here is I worked it out with him that I will come back at my expense to, which is not a lot, $68. But anyway, at my expense to speak for him on a Sunday, and also we have a elders meeting this week, and that gives me a chance to come back and see you all and be a part of the church service and so forth, and then to sit down with the elders and deal with the spiritual things of the church. And so anyway, he asked me to speak on this Sunday because it's Grandparents Sunday in his series of messages. And being a grandparent, and he is not, he wanted me to do that. So I thought, okay. And when I sat down and began to, I thought, boy, I said, okay, maybe too quick. Because I was really struggling and thinking of a verse in the scripture that dealt with grandparenting. I thought, wow, maybe there's nothing there. sure. And that's about what I heard from God, like, oh, yeah, okay. Just start digging, young man. And so anyway, went through probably close to 75, 80, 100 scriptures about grandparenting. And when I got all done, I wrote down grandparents, and the phrase that came to me was prepare the way. All right? So I want you to keep that in your minds. Grandparents, prepare the way. And so I, you know, being who I am, I look up those words, prepare. The word prepare means to equip. And I thought, what do you mean by equip? Equipping, you know, if you're going to prepare somebody or prepare to do something, there's probably some tools that you're going to need. There's some things that you're going to need you know, like this morning, I got up and I thought, oh boy, I'm in trouble. Usually when I get dressed on a Sunday morning, I make sure and I check out with Lois. I say, Lois, is this okay? Because I've been known to dress interesting by myself. And so this morning I came with a little bit of fear and trip, and then Dan and Amy came in. Amy, you know, I appreciated her opinion on things, and I said, Amy, Lois wasn't here this morning, and she's got the iPad, so I couldn't FaceTime her. And anyway, whatever FaceTimer is, I don't know. Anyway, but I said, is this all right? And she said, it's all right. I'm okay. If you want to argue with me, go right ahead. But I got it from an expert, Amy, like my wife. It's okay. So thank you, Amy. Appreciate that. And so anyway, I'm equipped. Okay? I'm equipped. And also it means to confirm or validate or encourage. Wow. It means to arm for protection. It means to put on armor. It actually means to tie armor on. Okay? And to make ready beforehand. And when I read that, I started chuckling to myself because all I could see was this army barracks, and there's a war going on outside, and all of a sudden there's an attack, and these guys are running around trying to find their guns and trying to find their pants and their shoes and all this other stuff, when in all respect they should have been ready to go right now. And so this thing of preparing is making the person ready beforehand, before they are on their own. All right. So grandparents, our job is to prepare. All right. And then the word way means the way, the road, the manner of life. Hear that. The manner of life. To lead or guide well, properly, to get ready for the entrance or access to life, and then also to make them ready for death. Wow. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Grandparents, we are to prepare our children and our children's children for the way they should go. That's by following Jesus. The truth about the way, which is the truth about Jesus, and the life. If we don't, Scripture says, and I'm not sure where, but it says, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. I don't care what anybody else says. If you don't have Jesus living in your heart, living in you and Him, you don't have eternal life. Let me say that again. According to the Scriptures, if we don't have Jesus in our lives and we're not in Him, we don't have eternal life. I don't care what anybody else says to you, that's what the Word of God says. And in this church, we preach the Word of God. Right? Amen. So all of a sudden, it became very important. John 17:3, and I think we have that up there. And it says, John 17:3. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Hear what it says. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God. You got to know Him. It's not know, it doesn't say know about Him. You got to know Him. You got to experience Him. Now, I know about a lot of people, but I don't know a lot of people. Now, you ask me, do you know Lois Moyne? Yes, I know Lois Moyne. I know about Lois Moyne, but I know Lois Moyne. And I know some of you. All right? I don't just know about you. I know you. I've been around you long enough, and we have this relationship with each other. When we leave, we have our cable TV turned off, and so I don't have TV at home right now. And so I do have some DVDs. And last night, I stuck one of them in, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Because it was about somebody that I'm learning to know. And Billy, you look the same on video as you do right here, okay? And the one I watched was Gary had two artificial knees, and he went sheep hunting. Is that right? And he was very thankful for you because you drug him up the mountains and hauled him around and all that stuff. But I enjoyed that because I was not just watching something about somebody. I actually know you, and I personally wanted to shake your hand again this morning, Billy. And I just want you to know I appreciate you, okay? And thank the Lord I got a privilege of getting to know you, all right? And so that was kind of cool. So how do we equip or prepare our family, our children and children's children and so forth, for the life and the life to come? Hear me. How do we prepare? If we are to prepare the way, if we are to set the course, this is the way we live, this is how you do it. All right? If we're to do that, how do we prepare them for the life that they're going to live, but also prepare them for eternity? Just helping them live here is not enough. Grandparents, it's not enough. We have to be those who prepare the way for our children and the children's children. So first of all, by our lives, all right? By how we live. And we can learn to be taught something, but somebody can come along and teach us something else, okay? We can learn by having someone show us, but again, someone else can come along and show us another way. Or we can learn by doing under the supervision of someone who has done it before. My dad was a lot of things, but one of the things, he was a mechanic. And I can remember as a young boy watching my dad and my brother was 3.5 years older than I am, and dad would slide under the car, and Jack would slide under the car, and dad was down there showing what this does and this does and this. Of course, back then they didn't have all the stuff that they have on cars now. But anyway, Jack was learning everything, and I was so envious of him. I thought, wow, my turn is coming. Dad's going to show me how and what it's for. But then he died when I was 14, and I missed that opportunity. Jack has worked on his cars and done things. I can change oil most of the time. I didn't learn how. My father didn't teach me how to work on a car like his dad taught him. All right? And that's what I'm talking about. Paul said this, do as I do, watch me, learn from me. And I want to say to you this morning, I want you to grab a hold of this. A lot of you think I'm a nice guy. I know that. And I'm not saying that just to say that. Because if you ask me if I'm a nice guy, I'm going to tell you, yes, I am. Jesus has been doing a work in me since 1966, 63. He's been working in me. I don't come to church on Sunday morning, and a lot of times out of being just the person that God has been creating, all right? I come in, I shake your hand, I give you hugs, I so much appreciate you, but I want you to know this, I work at that. I'm conscious of doing that all the time. Even when I'm in a store. You saw it this morning, and I didn't do this just to show you this morning. I wasn't thinking about it, but I'm going to use it as an example. I walked over and I thanked Margie. She did an excellent job, and I appreciate that. All right? You all clapped. I thank you for that. Okay? But you see, I'm hopefully, I want you all to be able to look at me and say, you know what? I want to be like him. I want to do what he does. I want to watch him, how he treats people and how he loves on people. You know, and so if somehow, some way you can look at me and you can grow in your relationship with God and you can grow in your relationship, and if I can somehow, some way teach you, the next generation, the ones underneath, if I can teach you how it's done, okay, then that's what I'm after. I want you to be the most loving group of people. Did you hear this morning what really makes this program work of taking care of young ladies who become pregnant and need the help of Pregnancy Help Center is the love of people. That's what it is. That's what makes it work. So, you know, use this as an example. They've got the baby bottles out there. Grab as many as you can, fill them up as much as you can, and help them out. Let's become who God wants us to be instead of being so self-centered and selfish, just doing your thing. Oh, there, I'm scourging. Okay, excuse me. I was talking about being good. That didn't work. Anyway, but I want to say this. I didn't learn how to drive a car in the classroom. Unless I drove the car into the classroom. But I didn't learn how to play football in a classroom. I didn't even learn how to be a pastor in the classroom. Oh, do I wish that those professors would have thrown out a lot of stuff and taught me how to be a pastor. Some of them did. There was a couple of them that Dr. Rose, oh, I tell you what, he taught me how to be a pastor. He was a pastor's pastor. All right? I didn't learn these things in a classroom. I learned them in life. You have no idea. I preached I pastored a church in New Columbus, Kentucky. And by the way, if anybody goes to the Ark, in Kentucky there, If you go one exit south and go to the west about 9 or 10 miles or so, and you wind around and you come up onto a hill, and there sits a little community of New Columbus, and there's a little Methodist church. That's where I pastored. All right, pastored for 2 years there, and I went back one time. Lois and I drove back years later, and the church was still open. I walked in. And I walked up to the front, and I stood at the pulpit, and I said, Lois, I need to come back. She said, why? I said, I need to come back and apologize to the people. I mean, I practiced on them. Oh, man, that had to be miserable, horrible, okay? But anyway, but that's where I learned. I learned, and let me just say this, And you know what? I'm still learning to be a husband. I've been married it'll be 55 years in June. I think. 6-5, 6-5, anyway. I'm still learning to be a husband. I'm a hard head. I'm still learning how to be a father. Get that? I'm still learning. I just spent some time with my son Stephen, and I'm going, oh man, I'm learning. I'm learning how to be a grandparent. I'm learning how to be a pastor. I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be a friend. I've had a lot to learn in that area. Most of all, and the hardest of all, I'm still learning how to be a man of God. Still learning. You'd think that somewhere along the line, but you know what? I think that every one of us are going to die still learning. All right? One of the greatest lessons that I learned was dealing with death and dying. Now, you got to understand that one of the first major people in my life that died was my grandfather. And my grandpa, my mom's dad, he was an interesting character. Grandpa he chewed tobacco, and Grandma had probably 8 or 9 or 10 coffee cans all around the house for him to spit tobacco in. He still spit it on the floor. And I think it was probably to aggravate Grandma. I'm not sure. And he died at of insanity. Probably dementia and so forth it would be today, but he ended up in dying down in Mendota, insane asylum in Madison. But I can remember going to the grandpa and grandma's and being around grandpa. He would sit there and tobacco juice and stuff would be coming down his chin and he was, wet himself. I mean, it was just, I was really repulsed from older people. I didn't like older people. I just didn't. Now, in that day, 50 was old, but the older I get, the older it gets. But anyway, but I didn't like that. And I didn't like being around him. He was mean. He was antagonistic. For the last few months that he was at the house, one of his sons would come every night and actually sleep in bed with him, put him against, well, because he was getting up and doing things and, just a whole thing. I didn't like it. And then my dad dies, and I'm with him. Out on the stream, 14 years old, and I'm there with my dad as he dies. I did not like death and dying at all. I wanted to stay as far as I could away. Well, I got to Elmwood, Wisconsin, pastoring in the Methodist Church, and somehow, some way, I was adopted by the nursing home, kind of, to be the chaplain of the nursing home. And one of the men that was there, his name was Slim Powell. Slim Powell was about 6'6", and they actually put a table at the end of his bed and put pillows on top of that because his feet stuck over the bed, all right? And I had the privilege, in two or three weeks before Slim passed away, I had the privilege of leading Slim to the Lord. And I would go over there, and we would have some of the neatest times together. And then Slim passed away, and he had two sisters that were lived down by Madison and so forth, and so I was there with him as he died, and I was sitting alongside of his bed, and I was praying and talking to him and stroking his hair, and I was absolutely loving every minute of it because I was with this precious brother. Okay, what was God doing? He was teaching me. He was teaching me how to love the death and the dying. And it was through Slim Paul that all of a sudden I began to understand that whole area. In the next 4 or 5 weeks, in 1 week during the after Slim passed away, we had an epidemic, flu epidemic, that came to the nursing home, and we lost about 18 or 19 inmates. Okay. you gotta be inside, God, to really appreciate it. But people. and I was there that week, probably 40 hours from the hours of 10, 11 o'clock at night until whenever. And I was with 12 individuals that passed away. They didn't have any family there. I was there. And I tell you what, I learned to love older people. I learned to love being with people as they passed away. But I learned some things. I learned, first of all, that those who didn't believe in God died in fear. Those who did died with smiles on their faces, some of them. There was a peace that I was learning, see? And again, I was learning, and I bring that here because grandparents, you have a job to show the way of how to live here on earth, but also show the way of how to end this time on earth. Which is just as important as showing them how. In fact, they're all together. How you live is going to be how you die. You got that? And grandparents, we have this opportunity. All right, so our actions need to support what we say. Someone said this, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions speak too loud. Take a look at your actions, people. I really don't care what you say. You can stand and say, well, I believe in God and all this other stuff. But if your actions don't show it, they're not hearing what you say. Y'all got that? I say that to grandparents, and I say it to parents, too. Your kids are watching your actions. I remember being at my mom's house one time, and the neighbors across the street had two young boys, and they got into a fight out in the yard. And I heard them screaming at each other, and boy, they were cussing each other out. I mean, from top to bottom. I mean, the air was turning blue, green. All right? And the mother comes out of the house and she says, "You blankety blank 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 kids, stop your swearing." I went, okay. What she said didn't mean a hill of beans. See, they had been taught how to swear. But they had not just been taught, they were taught. They heard it, they saw it, and they heard it, and they saw it. And no matter what anybody could say, they had learned real good how to swear. And if you've been a person that has been saved and had a habit of swearing, sometimes it's not easy to stop. But grandparents and parents, that's exactly what you got to do. Bible says, put to death. You put to death. Got it? You put to death those things that so easily trip you up. And you can ask God to help you, but when all said and done, you make the choice. You do. And when you're doing it, you got to understand your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are sitting there watching you. And if they see you put to death the deeds of the flesh that do not represent and give God praise, all right, then they're going to learn from it because you're doing it. You got it? You can say it all you want to, but if you say it that you shouldn't do this and yet you still are doing it, sorry, nobody's listening to your words. Are you hearing me this morning? And this is true for every single one of us. Some you get a chance to read Psalms 92. In Psalms 71:9, it says, "Do not cast me away when I am old." Oh, thank you, God. Don't cast me away. "I will have hope. I will praise you. I will tell everyone of your righteousness and salvation." Verse 18 says, "Even when I am old and gray and balding, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who will come." Now, I've shared this a little bit. I want to share it again. A few months ago, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Arvid, what you have experienced from childhood until now has been preparation for the next 5 years." And my response was, "God, I'm 75 years old. What in the world am I going to do in the next 5 years? It took all of this to learn." Lois and I were planning on selling our home. We're not going to do that. In fact, we're in the process now of redoing a lot of it, and we're in the process of building a ministry to take in hurting pastors and their wives free of charge for a week, offering them ministry, a place to come and recoup, and so forth. And wow! I mean, now I don't know. He said the next 5 years, so I don't know if at the end of 5 years he's going to take me home. Or if at the end of 5 years, maybe he's going to come back and that. But all I know is for the next 5 years, he's not putting me out to pasture. And I feel like Caleb. Caleb says, Josh, see that mountain? That's the mountain you gave me, remember? Yeah, okay. Now, I understand all the giants are up there in that mountain, but you know what? Up there is abortion, but I serve the God of God's armies. And Caleb said, "Stand back, boys. I got to go get my mountain." And he walked up. He took that mountain, 80 years old. So I thought, okay, he can do it at 80. I can do it at 75. All right. Now, and then, I'm getting kind of a rabbit trail here, but just letting you know, there was a prophecy given over me in 1992 that I would be doing this very thing. Now, I remembered that prophecy, went back and dug it out, and I'm telling you what, it talked about my dad's family. In the prophecy, it talks about the men of your family that have died of heart attacks. My dad and his three brothers all died of heart attacks. And my sister, and their sister, okay? By the way, this is my sister, Kathy, and she and Bob are going to be working with us. And how old are you now? 70? Yeah, you're 70. That's right. She's my little sister. And Pastor Jason's mom, you know. She's all right. You just... She knows different. So I'm not going to quit, folks. I'm going to regroup. I'm not going to retire. I get tired every so often, so I retired. Anyway. We, grandparents, hear me. We are to proclaim, to speak out, to tell others, and praise His name. The word praise in the Greek literally means this: to say the same thing. Praise is saying the same thing. Praise is saying the same thing. Grandparents, we are the ones that are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I hear this oftentimes. I hear it say, well, the younger generation is the generation of today. Excuse me? I don't care how young you are, you're not going to take my place. You got it? I don't give it up. You remember the story about the 4-foot square about my coach? Okay, that's my square, and you can't have it. And as long as I'm here and alive, I'm going to proclaim to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to do it ahead of me. Okay? In fact, I guarantee you that if I do die and you come to my funeral, it's going to be an odd funeral or different, because I've already got God give me a plan for my funeral. And you're not going to hear a lot of message from me or anybody else, but you're going to hear the gospel. It will be all about hearing the gospel. Okay? I might even haunt you. And I might even come back and just preach it to you anyway. I'm serious this morning. I'm not giving up my place. And it's time for we grandparents to stand up and be accounted for in the body of Christ. We don't get put off in the pasture. And listen, and young people, hear me. You can't put us out. And you think you can in this world of this. But it's time. I'm so tired of being around people, grandparents. And we get to a certain age, we retire. We go off and play this and do this and do this and do that. Now, that's all right, okay? But, hey, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand and be accounted for until either I die or Jesus comes. And I'm going to be a grandparent that's going to continue to teach my kids and my grandkids about Jesus. That's my gift. That's my responsibility. And you know what? They have not. I don't care how great you are or anything else as a young person, and all kinds of abilities, you still don't have my experience. You got it? You still don't have my experience. And you know what, grandparents? They still don't have your experience. So don't take a back seat. You're still driving. And even when you can't literally drive, you still drive. Sure.
Us 40-year-olds, we want to.
Good. You're going to get it anyway, so. All right. We are the ones to show the way how to live and how to die. Grandparents, you have a job of showing your children and grandchildren, and if you have great-grandchildren, them too, how to live a godly life and how to die a godly person. But you got to be godly. So if you got any habits or anything that is not godly, get rid of it. Because you have a host of people that you love and love you that are watching you. And no matter what you say, they're going to adopt what you do. That's what's really training them. All right. Young people, I want everybody that's not a grandparent to stand up. Oh, that is, I want you to look at each other. All right, now you may sit down, but I'm talking to you. Did you use the NIV for your scripture, or what did you use? Can you do the last scripture in Leviticus? Can you do that on New Living Bible? Can you do that for me? I want you to see this verse. It's in Leviticus 19, verse 32. Leviticus 19, 32. Is that in NLV? The New Living Bible? This is all right. That's NIV, but I want the New Living Bible. Leviticus 19, 32. What it's saying, and if we get it up in the New Living Bible, it's a better of all the translations as far as the definition. New Living Translation. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. And if we can bring that up in the New Living Translation, you'll actually see the real meaning. Sharon, how old are you? 80. Now you sit there and smile. I want you to stand up. Come here. Can you walk with me up here?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Good. When Sharon comes into the room, hear me. 80 years old, I'm 75. How old are you, Dave? 73. Anybody here our age? Anybody else? How old are you?
74.
74, okay.
Yeah.
How old?
74.
74. When we, how old are you? 70. When we come into your presence, what he is saying here, and it says the Lord is saying this. If you want to Show the fear of God in your life. When we walk in the door, you, according to the Lord, are to stand up and show honor and respect for the aged. Are you listening to me? The scripture is saying it. The Lord says, if you want to honor my Father, you stand up in the presence of the aged and show honor and respect. I can walk in. I've done a poor job of training my kids, I guess, and grandkids. How many of you, when you walk into the presence of the aged, or maybe I should date you, how many times do you walk in and your grandkids are on a phone or something playing a game and they go, "Hi, Grandma." Does that ever happen? Or do they get up and come up and give you a hug?
Oh, yeah, they usually come up and give me
a hug. Well, good. See, you did a good job, girl. Now, don't laugh at this. You see, what it's saying is, if you fear God, you're going to stand up and show respect and honor for the aged, for the grandparents. If you really fear God, which says to me, if you don't fear God, you don't do it. And that is our society today. What we do is we put aside the grandparents. We don't even acknowledge them sometimes. You walk into the room and so forth, and I don't care whether they're your kids or not. God says, if you're going to fear me and honor me, you're going to stand up when those young people, when that older people come in. We don't do that. We get, "Hi." Sometimes you don't even get that. I watch in the airport, and I see a serviceman come through, and I honor them, okay? And I saw this couple coming down in Denver Airport, and they're walking. There was a man and woman in soldier gear, okay? Their army fatigues and so forth, and everybody's on their phones, and here come this older couple. I mean, they were just kind of hanging on to each other. And when they got alongside of them, they put their hand up on that young man's chest and they stopped him and they thanked him for his service. And I'm going, "Good, good, great, teach us." And that's why I say that, listen to me, we grandparents have a job to do, and that is train our children. We train them how to respect other people. We train them how. And then you parents who have got children, all right? You take what we teach you and teach them. Grandparents, we have a job to do. And it's not giving up our position. It's living in our position and being grandparents. Call us on it. If you see us doing something that's not right, call us on it. Get our attention. Knock us over the head if you have to. Right?
Right.
I love this gal. I love her so much. Okay? Let's stand. Thank you. As a grandparent, Father, first of all, we repent of the sin of not doing our part and doing what you have required of us to do and be, that we have reneged on our responsibility to train up our children and our children's children, to show them by our living, along with what we say, the correct way to live, and hopefully, Father, the correct way to die. Let these words and examples teach us. Help us to learn. Help us as grandparents to stand up and be accounted for. No matter what our children say or do, no matter what our grandchildren say or do, does not determine what we do or say. We are our own individual people. And you have a ministry for us that never quits until our breath quits. And even, Father, if we offend by the truth, let us not worry about it. But, Father, help us be the example of Jesus. The example of the grandparents within the Bible that were honored and honored and honored by each and every generation. So, Father, I pray a blessing today upon the grandparents. I pray a blessing upon the parents. And I pray a blessing upon all of the children that are here, the young people, the young adults who are here. And I ask you, Father, to anoint each and every one of them to be and do who you have called them to be and to do. In the name of Jesus, amen.